Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to.
The Noontime Hour with Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston. Phil Perry is brought to you by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your football party a huge success this Sunday. Get details at stopandshop.com. Phil.
What's up, boys?
Ready for the game?
Big one.
Ready for a big one on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big, big game.
Big football game.
Big game. Let's talk about it. Patriots and Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
What's the matchup of the game for you?
There's so many. I think it's a really interesting game. It's not just a big matchup because of playoff implications and rivalry, if you want to call it, and all that, but it is a pretty interesting game just in terms of matchups all across the board. I wrote today about the Steelers' pass rush, so let's hit on that first.
Diamond fronts.
So, yeah, it's a little bit of a twist on the Texans' diamond front, which has given the Patriots problems in the past. You get your five-man front. You get somebody right over the center, Zoe. Yep. Usually it's an athlete. The Texans use Whitney Merciless that way.
That's the difference.
And it killed them a couple years ago in the playoffs. This year, what the Steelers do is they do something very similar, but they use one of their big heavy dudes right on the center, right on the nose, Hargrave or Hayward or Tuitt, and then they take that athletic linebacker and they put him over the guard. So it's the same. The principles are the same. You just want one-on-ones across the board, but this is how the Steelers, in part, have led the league in sacks this year. They have 45 sacks, and they're fourth in the league in pressure percentage. Brady was good at the end, we know, last year, but I think we forget he had a hard time, and they were on him. They sacked him twice. They hit him four more times.
Yeah.
He was under pressure, I think, on 15 snaps in that game, and his rating was less than 50 on those 15 snaps. So if they can get after him, it could be a hard time for the Patriots offense. So they have to have that diamond or whatever the Steelers call it. The Texans are the ones who call it the diamond. But whatever the Steelers call it, Patriots have to have an answer for it.
Here's the thing that I think it comes down to in this game, though, and all this stuff is very important. But can you cover or can you not cover? Can you cover the Pittsburgh receivers? Will be a big determining factor in how this game goes.
Are you concerned about Patriots coverage?
Of course I am.
Because I think a lot of people are. Well, so
I said part of my reason for believing the Patriots will win is that I believe Gilmore is going to play a better game than what we've seen out of him recently, and I think they're going to sort of use both the McCourties and to their advantage. I think Jason McCourty has to bounce back from what he's been the last couple of weeks.
Yeah,
week, I should say.
Yeah, he had a hard time with Kenny Stills.
Yeah, rough game.
And so, and that's a guy who's still trying to get adjusted if they're going to use him in the slot, which Stills is.
And like, it should be.
He's still getting used to that.
Juju Smith-Schuster is Gilmore. And when you're talking about Brown, you're talking about McCourty's.
That's what I would expect the matchups to be, whether it's the McCourty's or whether it's J.C. Jackson and Devin McCourty, so
we spent some time talking about this yesterday.
Daron Harmon.
J.C. Jackson, how much playing time does he get this week? And I think it's going to be Jason McCourty until they have a reason for it to be J.C. Jackson. Sort of like what happened last week, right? You saw J.C. Jackson win the game in the second half.
I agree with you there. Because it's nothing against J.C. Jackson. I think he's actually played pretty well, you know, maybe that last play aside on Sunday. But I think when you are being asked to be one of the guys to double Zoe, like I think you have to understand leverage. You have to understand what the other guy is doing. You have to understand routes. And I think J.C. Jackson can do a good amount of that, but I think Jason McCourty obviously has more experience, and yeah, so he might just trust him to be kind of the trail guy on Brown.
He reminds me a lot of Tabucky Jones, sort of that, you know, taller, longer, athletic type guy, but, you know, can struggle way downfield, but more physical. And I don't know if this is a physical game. This is one where you gotta sort of understand what your assignment is, meaning I could see it be more of a Jason McCourty type game. We're going to line it up, we're going to have you chase, and we're going to give you help. But I'm with Beto. I think Gilmore, you know, we've talked about these matchups going into Pittsburgh week where we worry about coverage. And they fare pretty well against Pittsburgh. I know Pittsburgh gets their plays. They get it, no, but, you know, you don't really give up the big ones early. Pittsburgh's always chasing you, it seems, in this game.
Well, in like last year, lead, you know they I mean? Lucked out in that last year. Antonio Brown was hurt. And so that affected the matchups across the board. But you did end up seeing Gilmore.
Well, James should have scored on that touchdown. You know what I mean? That was an awful call.
I agree with both you guys. I think it's probably going to be Gilmore on Smith-Schuster. Just because he's bigger, he's more physical, he's outside and inside. The one thing from talking to guys this week, they say is that, you know, Smith-Schuster is thought of as sort of a slot guy, and he is. He's played in there quite a bit. But Brown is in there at times. The kid Switzer is in there at times.
Oh,
they'll put everybody everywhere. And so you have to be comfortable. If you're just going to play man, you're going to line up and play man. You have to be comfortable being anywhere on the field. And so some of those guys have gotten more comfortable with it. Again, Jason McCourty really didn't play in the slot at all until he got here. Stephon Gilmore, mm-hmm. not a slot guy, but he's played a little bit of slot here because his matchup has been in the slot. So I think previous experience in that way is going to help them this week because the Steelers really like to move those guys around.
So one of the guys that does work with Phil, the Maven, has tweeted, we have made an executive decision today to not put William Benditson on. And we're doing that because we put him on twice and the Patriots have been 0-2.
So you're putting that on the Maven?
He's tweeted. He's referring to himself in third person. The Maven
superstitious around here.
So we're taking a shot.
Can't afford it this week.
This is a big week.
Can't afford to
big
run
week.
That
this is a big week.
I told him, I said, executive. We put him on the phone. He was on a conference call. Executive decision made by the two of us here.
Well, you know what? I think Will would understand that.
He does.
He would understand.
Can't do nothing personal. It's not personal.
So they break the streak this week, and he's back. He's back again soon.
Well, wait a minute. Like if they win this week,
how do you put
the Maven on?
Ooh, okay,
it's almost like the Maven needs to be rooting for a loss to prove that it wasn't him.
That's what he said. So what do I do here? Then I got to root for Pittsburgh to win here.
Yep. I said that's what gets you on, Will. 2 minutes with Slick Willie.
2 minute Will.
Look at the graphic. Yes. We get the graphic and everything on NBC Sports Boston.
Graphic for him now.
I love it.
But we can't do it today.
Love the Maven.
We cannot do it today. He's 0-2 in his appearances.
The Maven is churning out content. He's churning out content.
Just get the videos out.
You're
going to
get your fill of the Maven. If you're on Twitter, you go, you know, you go visit the Maven site.
If he's got a preview video today, we could play the preview video because that's not him coming on the show.
Well, the preview video is 1-0, I think. The one time we played it, they won.
Oh.
We're going to do a Benditson preview video.
We need a preview video is what we need.
We need more Maven analytics is what we need.
Isn't it great?
He breaks down those plays. Yep.
Someone needs to get him like a Bellustrator. Like he needs
He's had a couple where he's broken down with visuals, the X's and O's.
Yeah, I know. But
I've told him I appreciate it.
Go electronic on that.
We both like the ins and outs, the matchups, all that
technical
sort of stuff.
Football, as he likes to say.
Were you down the other day when he tested the mics? Check testing. One, two, three.
I was.
Nice. Hot
takes. I am super.
Yeah.
Wrong song.
Oh. Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
1-0 defeat over Morocco. Is Ronaldo around?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Chuck Berry.
Run, run, Rudolph. Santa's got to make it to town. Santa, make him hurry. Tell him he can take the freeway down.
Run, Bill Perry with us here on Zolak and Bertrand, 617-779-0985. RJ Bell coming up at 1 o'clock today.
Nice.
I know that excites you.
Yeah. Fired up to hear
it
from
RJ. Get you very fired up.
Yeah. I miss him. I haven't been able to talk to him. Myself, personally, in a few weeks here. It's very disappointing.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. I'm sure it is. Rob is in Winthrop today. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Rob.
That was a fake promo, by the way. So we're doing best of fake promos at the end of the show. That was a little snippet.
Rob, hello? You there?
Hello?
Yeah, Rob, go ahead.
Baby.
All right, so quick question. So with the personnel mistake they made at the end of the game last week and possibly another one or two coming up that leads us to being kicked out of the playoffs, you think Belichick might say, you know, enough's enough for me and ride into the sunset? Thanks for the call.
Seems the ideally the perfect way to go out to a historic career.
Make a few personnel mistakes last few games of the year.
We're
and just
done.
Call it quits.
I don't see any indication where this guy is anywhere near the end. Or
I would agree.
Maybe I would see some changes. I've actually seen him be a little more intense.
And you're spending more time with him than we are. So, but I would agree with you there. I don't see it. I understand where the caller's going, right?
If Bill makes
a few more mistakes, does he decide, hey, maybe, I don't know, like maybe I don't have it anymore, it's time to leave?
Or just one of my defensive guys makes a freaking tackle? Just somebody tackle a guy? You know, it's a trick play. You know, it's got to be a freakish play. Somebody make a damn tackle.
I think Brian Flores basically admitted it was a personnel mistake and that they would, if that situation pops up again,
I would think McCourty
they're
going to
make
field.
A change.
I would think McCourty would be on
the Do you think they've gotten over things down there this week?
I do. Just because they almost don't really have a choice. I think the game is such a challenge that, like, what are you going to, you're going to sit around the locker room and just kind of stew over how Devin McCourty wasn't on the field?
No, but you know how it is. I mean, it's something like that happens. It has the potential for,
you not being able to shake it. Yeah. And they admitted that right after it happened. Talked to plenty of guys. Said, we'll find out. We'll find out if it lingers. I haven't seen anything that would indicate to me that it has. Locker room has seemed to be a pretty normal, at times upbeat locker
room. I thought in us talking to Kyle Van Noy on Wednesday that he like went out of his way to be like, nope, we're excited, we're ready for Pittsburgh, and like there's
trying a little too hard.
Well, I just think there's a conscious effort to look at Pittsburgh, focus on Pittsburgh, which is good. I mean, it's great. That's what you should be doing.
Well, and that's how
there's
they do it down there.
There's a conscious effort to make sure there's nothing being talked about related to the loss at Miami.
And that's how, again, that's what they do, right? I think this is part of the reason their record is what it is after losses, is because they're not even gonna mention it, you know, once Wednesday rolls around or Tuesday rolls around and the game plans come out.
Steve in South Carolina. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing today?
What's up, Steve?
Hey, I watch you guys down here all the time. I pay extra for the Nesson station so I can receive it down here.
NBC Sports Boston.
I'm down here in Fort Mill, South Carolina. I moved down from Massachusetts.
How's the weather?
Down here. It's raining right now, but it's warming up next week. It'll be in the 60s. So it's not bad at all.
Okay.
We missed a big snowstorm here. They're about 10 miles north of us, they got it in Charlotte, but... Anyways, I wanted to say I think we owe San Diego some lobsters, Anthony Lynn. We caught another break last night. And if we'd won Miami, then we'd be in golden position right now. But I think we owe them some lobsters after last night's game. I was watching it. It was, like, fantastic. Rivers did a super job.
Yeah, I don't know that it's yet a break for the Patriots, though. I mean, I think it's the desired result.
Sure. You still need a lot to happen.
Gives you an outside shot, but I don't know that it's... You know, any sort of huge, it makes you more angry about the Miami loss.
It does. It makes that more disappointing if you're a Patriots fan. I think it also, you know, it kind of shows you that you guys were talking about it earlier. I heard you. The mystique of Arrowhead, I don't know how you argue that that
Baltimore
thing is still
well
a thing.
How do
Baltimore almost beat them there.
How do you blow
they
a two-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter?
Man, even the Wizard, Patrick Mahomes can't bail out Andy Reid at the end of the
football
game. The
Wizard, that's what we're calling him now? The Wizard?
I mean, he was pretty good last night, early. Well, let's not dub him, you know.
He's Jordan.
Yeah.
He's Jordan, Jim.
He's Jordan.
Jordan.
It's my, the no look passes.
Just
no,
so
he's probably
much,
more magic than Jordan,
so
right?
Much, no so much credit for that 4th and 9 last week, just chucking it up down back across the middle. That
wasn't a great play. I mean, some of those
so
rollouts
bad.
Last
so
night, though, you're watching that, and it's like, get him.
The touchdown. The early touchdown.
What do you do?
It looked like
he
was running out of bounds.
He just extended the play for 8 seconds. Yeah. And, obviously he found a guy because he can throw it on the move. But, I mean, he's pretty damn good. But, again, you're going to call a timeout for the Chargers to get their stuff together?
That was
the
unreal.
First thing Philip Rivers said in the postgame.
8 seconds.
How about well, and then we got the timeout. They ended up calling the timeout, and we were able to catch our breath there for a second there. And it, what are you doing?
How about the Kansas City offensive huddle where they're all just – how many times did Mahomes try and look over to the bench and Andy couldn't decide which play to call on that final drive? Where it's just like, okay, what are we doing? Oh, we're going to take our foot off the gas. That's what we're going to do. They're all standing there with their heads like nothing. Nobody's doing anything. Nobody's saying anything.
Conservative –
it's
again,
typical.
The clock management, it's the same story with Andy Reid every single year.
Critical moments, late minutes. Late,
and the quarterback has changed, and the quarterback is better, and the quarterback allows you to do some things that the previous quarterback didn't. But the coach is still the coach, and the decisions are still the same decisions. And they now are a team where you look at it and you say, okay, well, who have they really beaten in a big spot this year? Who have they beaten in prime time? Which good teams have they beaten?
They've lost all
three. Home or road? And you look at the coach. I mean, I don't know. Do you put that on Patrick Mahomes last night? No. I mean, I think he's feeling himself a little too much my sake.
Yeah.
The left-handed throws. Are you kidding me?
Like, stop.
When you throw with your left hand, Patrick Mahomes, you become any one of us here sitting down talking into microphone.
Hot take.
Like, are you watching the ball flutter out of his hand on there? Like, what is he doing?
Stupid.
It's idiotic.
Yeah.
He completed one weeks ago.
I understand.
And the world blew up. They bowed at his feet.
If they're hanging onto your right shoulder and they're ripping your jersey down, you can't get it. I don't have a problem. You switch hands and try and make a one-time play.
It looks good for you.
3 yards.
Congratulations.
You just got to pitch it to him with your left hand.
Yeah.
He's a little overconfident, I think, and the mistakes are going
to
be there.
Legitimate throws with his left hand.
He tried to make some mistakes there that the Chargers couldn't take advantage of at times last night. That game really shouldn't have. In some ways, you look at how the Chargers played in the first half.
Yeah.
They got sacked twice. They jumped off sides 3 or 4 times. They turned it over twice. They didn't turn it over at all defensively. And it's still a one-score game. If they had played halfway decently in the first half, that might have been a 2-touchdown game last night.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sir, Chuck in the mailroom needs to talk to you.
What, Chuck? I mean, what could be going on down there that's so important you had to interrupt me? What?
Good job, Sean, at Chicago. We'll put that together, Jim.
Or Tom, nice.
This hour of Zolak and Bertrand is brought to you by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your football party a huge success this Sunday. Get details at stopandshop.com. What are you laughing at?
Jim, just laughing at Jim. He's just funny.
What?
Nothing.
But I just ignored you and kept reading?
Right.
Yeah, well,
this hour is a lame bird.
Someone's got to do it, so. I mean, if you want to take over the duties, I'm more than happy to hand them off to you.
Anybody can read a piece of paper.
You got all these reads you got to get in during the course of a show. They have to be done on time. They have to be done at certain points.
Get this shirt. This is snappy.
You like this?
We do have to send the affidavits and get paid.
Yeah, we can make sure that happens.
So go ahead. Go ahead. You were saying?
I was saying.
Well, anybody?
Yeah, sure. Let's
Let's do
a radio show.
I know what I want to talk about. I have something quickly.
I'm the last guy who's supposed to be running anything here.
An email from Jeffrey A. Fortin, PhD, Chair of the History Department.
Let's go.
Associate Professor of History, New England Journal of History, all at Emmanuel College.
Okay.
Good deal.
Where's this going?
Hey, Hardy.
Tell
Zoe that a bough of holly is a branch of holly. In the Victorian period, people would decorate with little twigs or branches of holly, has long been seen as a sacred of a religious symbol dating back to the Romans. That's from Jeff. He signs it, but I'm going to call him
Jeffrey.
Dr. Fortin.
Jeffrey.
To the rest.
There you go.
A lot of teaching. You learned something today, Zoe.
Bow of holly.
Yeah. Bow.
Sitting there listening to Zolak and Bertrand while you're teaching. Mr. History Man.
Oh, maybe it was just office hours or something. Nobody showed up.
Mr. Educated Dude.
Mr. Important Guy.
What a loser listening to this show.
Doctor of Letters.
Oh, you're there with all your books and facts.
You Mr. Fancy Pants.
You listen to us. How smart
Emmanuel College.
Thank you, Dr. Fortin.
Yeah.
Bow. Patriots rushing ball. Attack in this game, Phil. What does it look like?
Flows better.
What do? They continue to try and establish the run and run the football.
Steelers defense has actually been pretty good against the run. It's a good defense. It's a good front. They've got
sounds like
Cam Hayward.
Is no
Javon Hargrave. These guys are good players, and so as a result, they're like top 10 in the league in terms of yards per carry allowed. So do you throw it against a team that leads the league in sacks?
They went against the 30th ranked rushing team last week and couldn't really run the ball.
Couldn't really do it.
I was listening to Charlie Weiss this morning. He was on with Bob Papa. They do that show on Sirius. But he was talking about like the Rams last week. He goes,
Rams.
Let me ask you a question. Who's the best player on the Rams team? Papa talked early. He goes, you know they ran him 11 times in Chicago in a cold weather game. Everybody's saying, well, Goff can't fill the ball and this and that.
He thinks Todd Gurley's the best player on the team?
He thinks he is,
either side of the ball?
Both do.
Oh,
no, on the offense. Who's the best player on the offense? Right. Who's the best player on the offense?
Question.
Todd Gurley. Yeah, Todd Gurley. So there's your big back. You're a 6'2", 240-pound back that you run 11 times. He goes, for whatever reason, they won't line a tight end in against the formation tight and attempt to run the ball to the strength of that formation. He says, it drives me crazy that they go four empty.
Well, because they don't have real tight end.
He said, there's part of your problem. With the girl where teams are going to be able to beat them, good defensive teams are going to be able to figure this out. And he's talking from a formation standpoint.
Oh, like the Chicago Bears.
He goes, it's four spread. He goes, when Papa's like, well, what's four spread? Explain it to me. He goes, well, you don't have a tight end lined in tight. Everything is four out. You know, so we would call it three out, four out. They like to go four out because they go vertical. He said, until you get punched in the mouth.
They'll have a tight end on the field, but he's more of like an eight. If it's Tyler Higbee, he's kind of like an H-back
but
almost.
Is this something?
And then they go three receivers almost 100% of the snaps.
So the Chiefs are similar in that aspect too with Kelce, but Kelce's more of that wide receiving type tight end. Is this going to happen to these high flying teams that you're going to face a good defense in the playoffs that's going to be able to punch you in the mouth and eliminate any sort of a running game that you have and make you one dimensional? And you better pray to God your quarterback doesn't screw up. Because Goff screwed up a little in that game.
Oh, and it's getting cold. If you're Kansas City, I mean, I think it hurt him last night. You're playing outside. You're playing in Kansas City. Weather's not great. You may have to play outside throughout the course of the playoffs. The thing that helps the Rams is that they're not seeing cold weather anytime soon. And even if they have to go through New Orleans, they're going to be in a dome all the way through the Super Bowl. So they're kind of built that way, and it's smart on their part.
Yeah, you are what you are.
You are what you are.
Two calls here on the board. One says Phillip Rivers is overrated. One says... another one says Phillip Rivers pulled out a win. Looks like a very pro Phillip Rivers one.
Interesting. Pro one.
We'll go with Brian in West Roxbury first. Brian.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Brian?
How you doing?
Yeah, so I can't help but think, Phillip Rivers has been in the league for a while, and he's been putting up great numbers. And even if he doesn't get the Super Bowl win, I'm hoping that he's done enough in his career to get into the Hall. And I can't help but think, everyone has given him the reputation he can't win the big game. Like, he hasn't been able to get to the Patriots the last 10 years to get to the championship game. And I can't help but think from last night's game, I keep thinking back to the clip from the Bears-Arizona game a while back where the coach goes, we are who we thought they are, and we let them off the hook. And that kind of reminds me of Phillip. You know, everyone thinking of him as an underdog, and he's able to go into Arrowhead and pull it off.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
He will be.
Yeah, I think he is.
End of the day, when you look at the numbers and the stretch and the consistency over the years and the amount of games played, Belichick talks about, it's really important for your quarterback to be tough to be out there to play. He plays through injury. I know he'll have your key turnovers, but I look at a guy like him, I'd value him more than a guy like a Testaverde.
Longevity, accuracy, production.
That's all they have.
And I know like the teams haven't done much. But and we've talked about quarterback wins on this show before. And you
I
guys
dig him, dude. I dig him. I dig him.
I didn't really
dug him
love
when
my
NC
take.
State.
But I don't think that's all on Phillip Rivers, the fact that they haven't gone all that far in the playoffs.
He never beat Maryland when he was at NC State. Never beat Maryland.
I'll tell you, I don't know that he is a Hall of Famer. And there's so many quarterbacks from this era that have put up numbers.
Well, that's the thing. The threshold for the numbers is going to have to get more difficult because
that's
the numbers are exploding.
I'm not sure the numbers are going to matter.
So he came out Eli's here. Do you look at Eli's Hall of Famer?
No. But he'll get in. I don't see him as a Hall of Famer.
I don't think he's a great quarterback, but I think he's won two Super Bowls, which will help push him over the top.
He was cash money in the fourth quarter of those.
But who's the better quarterback?
Rivers.
We talked about this earlier. I'd rather have Rivers.
Not even a question.
But just to go to who the modern quarterbacks in that have made it into the Hall of Fame.
That was a good ball, Phil.
Brett Favre, Warren Moon, Steve Young, Marino, Aikman, Montana, Elway, Jim Kelly. That's it. Not all the quarterbacks get in. Not everybody gets in. You've got to be really that upper echelon.
God, Kelly, I'm not sure
if what he's accomplished to this point, once you get into the era where he's going to get voted in, there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks he's up against that have good numbers.
It's a good point. So it's an interesting discussion. How much do you put the overall team success on the guy who matters most? Because if he had won one, it wouldn't even be a question. But you have guys like, whether it's Eli Manning or his brother Peyton late in his career, those guys didn't win those Super Bowls. Their defenses won those Super Bowls. But Peyton obviously deserves to get in regardless, but Eli's going to get in because his defenses were great.
From sort of the time frame that Phillip Rivers played in, he's got Brady ahead of him. He's got Peyton Manning ahead of him. He's got Roethlisberger ahead of him. He's got a lot of guys that have won that are sort of ahead of him that are going to get in, and he may not.
I think the longevity really helps him, too. He has been out there every single week.
It doesn't seem like his play is harder
to get into the Hall of Fame than people realize.
Yeah.
That's all I would say on that.
He's a relatively media-friendly guy as well, isn't he, though?
Oh, he's looked at as a good guy.
He's probably got good relationships with people that sit on those boards.
Who's got a better career? Harold Baines or Phillip Rivers?
Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers. Right? Phillip Rivers had a better career.
Oh, boy.
If you go by the Harold Baines corollary. Anybody can get in quickly. Fran in Pennsylvania had the other side of the Rivers debate. Go ahead, Fran.
Hey, guys. Merry Christmas. How you doing?
Good. What's up,
Fran?
How you doing, Franny?
Hey, you took the words right out of my mouth. He's the equivalent of Harold Baines. You know, I can't imagine why anyone would consider him for the Hall of Fame. It's the Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of regular season statistics, you know? He's got a losing record in the playoffs. Never been to a Super Bowl, been to one AFC championship, I believe, and lost. I just don't see it. I can't imagine why anyone's afraid of this guy. He's a perennial bedwetter, you know?
I'm with Fran.
I think you got to look into it a little deeper than that.
Four playoff wins.
He got to the AFC championship
played on a torn ACL.
In the wild card round.
Man.
Win something.
Regular season only. So Warren Moon's in.
Yeah.
We're gonna start crushing Warren Moon
in his era was terrific.
Okay. I'm not saying he wasn't. He deserves to be in. But what did he win?
I'm saying his statistics, though, separate him from the pack. Phillip Rivers don't do that anymore.
Well,
everyone's got passing statistics.
Yeah, but he's better than most. He's just a shade under other guys we're talking about as Hall of Famers.
Hall of very good.
Well, just because he's not at Tom Brady's level means he can't get into the Hall of Fame.
No, he's not at Brady's level, Peyton Manning's level, Roethlisberger's level, Drew Brees' level.
I just can easily
name four or five guys from his time playing that are already ahead of him and are
locks. It's a good point.
If you
have to be considered one of the best, one or two best of your era to get into the Hall of Fame, then he doesn't get in.
He was the seventh best guy in the era that he played in. Well, then why are we putting him in the Hall of Fame? I think he's going to have a hard time.
What about Kurt Warner?
Quarterbacking now means much more than it did back then. Some of these guys that we're talking about that have gotten in, why it's hard, it's much more important.
I say
that
Kurt Warner because you said modern day, but like that guy gets in. You know, Terrell Davis gets in. There's guys that have gotten in.
That's a tough one.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand. Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
You can't extradite somebody from the DR for drug charges.
Oh.
You can do it for bigamy, for shipwrecking and piracy.
Wait,
you know a lot about this.
So you can't chase a criminal in the DR?
So you can, but only for certain crimes.
Wow.
How do you know so much about this?
How do you know this?
It's right on Google.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We've got 12 fake promos coming up in about an hour for the end of the show today. That's a small preview. That call ended up being all bullcrap, too. We ended up looking that up. What were we talking about? Oh, Hanley.
Hanley Ramirez.
Hanley.
I remember that.
Going to the DR.
Remember, listen.
That if Hanley was going to be brought up on any sort of drug charges, could he be brought back to the States?
You can't extradite somebody from the DR for drug charges.
Oh. Did she speak about
it? Bigamy, for shipwrecking and piracy?
So confident.
Shipwrecking.
For someone who just Googled that information, so confident
like
with the delivery.
Mormon fundamentalists who, you know, have a bunch of wives and think they can get away with it by then going to the Dominican Republic, not so fast. You can be deported. and extradited for bigamy.
It's right on Google.
It's right on Google, guys.
It's right there.
Might want to check before you try.
It's right there, guys. What are you doing? Oh, man.
Duh.
I'm really looking forward to the fake promos. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Your final thoughts here, Phil, on this game coming up Sunday, 4:25. You're going to be there, right?
I'm going to be there. Making looking the forward to it. The atmosphere should be great.
Maven.
Sounds like it's going to be a messy day.
It
sounds
does?
Like it's going to be a little rainy. Not that cold, but like 45 and rainy, I think, last I checked.
Okay.
So can you run the football? You haven't been able to do it. Sony Michel's been getting a ton of carries and hasn't been able to do much with them. Again, it's a good run defense. It's a good pass rush. I think at the end of the day, you have to make sure Brady's protected, A, and you have to make sure you continue what you started in Miami with your three-headed monster in the passing game with Gronkowski, Edelman, and Gordon all being productive and giving you productive reps. You can throw, even though they have all the sacks, you can throw on the Steelers. They're 24th in the league in quarterback rating allowed. There should be some mismatches on the outside with Gordon in particular. And if they try to zone things up, which is who they are, it's what they do, Rob Gronkowski should have a legitimately productive day again. So it's going to be on the quarterback's shoulders.
42 and rainy. Clean. Saying 42 and rainy.
They can throw in the mess, though.
Sure
that's
could.
Like that's a.
I think muddying this game up benefits them. Slows down our receivers a little bit.
Well, and I think it just kind of, it slows down the defense, too. People always say that. In the snow, in the rain, in the mud, well, it benefits the defense. Could be a low-scoring game.
Those guys
it makes it really hard for defensive backs to stop and go and turn and run and all that sort of stuff. Still think it could be kind of a shootout here, so it's going to be on Brady. You got to get first half Brady. If you're
Let's get a couple more calls in with Phil Perry before he departs. Jim is on the Cape today. Hi, Jim.
Well, I just was tying into an earlier caller in a way that he was wondering about Belichick leaving and getting out. He may not, but something's missing. You know, we've seen how the poor preparation is costing ball games in the last 2 years. And, you know, you reach a certain age, you start wearing down, and it happens. So just wondering where maybe Kraft is in all this. Do you have any ideas?
I'm sure Robert wasn't happy about
specifically?
Sunday.
I'm not quite following you here.
Well, I don't understand the lack of preparation. They're, if anything, they're overprepared. That may be a problem.
So you think that he's not doing a good job and the owner is not doing anything about it, is what you're saying?
That's what I think. Absolutely right.
You do realize if they won on Sunday, that would be 16, that's one, then a six after it, 16 straight seasons of winning 10 games or more.
And you make a good point. I'm just saying I see things in him that I didn't see in his first 16, 17 years in the last two. And
teams
you
change
know,
too.
Age has a way of bearing on you.
I think they prepare these guys the same way. I think some of the guys you put out there may not have the stuff between the ears that some other guys may have had. You know, guys like Rodney, Teddy, just instinctual.
I would just be interested to know what the caller is pointing to. Is it because Devin McCourty wasn't on the field? That's a mistake. We can all acknowledge that.
Who's that on, Phil?
That's one. McCourty wasn't on the field.
Who's that on?
And then you go back to, you want to go back to the Super Bowl? You want to talk about Malcolm Butler? Have at it. But consistent mistakes from the coaching staff is not something I think about when I think about this Patriots team this year. That's not really what's done them in. Is it? Am I wrong there?
No, I don't.
Coaching
think that's
mistakes.
What it is. I mean, I think there was
poor
a coach
management.
I think there was a coaching mistake at the end of the game.
I do too.
But is that on
I
Josh?
Think they've acknowledged
the of,
that.
Is that on Josh too? At the end of the first half, just taking for granted what you have in the huddle and not have to tell him that hey, we got no timeouts here. Just so you know that I'm just kidding. Even
does anyone think that the coaching is what lost at Detroit?
No,
I don't think so. Okay, players suck.
Jacksonville.
That night. I'm not sure Jacksonville either.
There's just, I don't know if, I think fans obviously get caught up in what they've seen most recently.
Even the end of that Jacksonville
now,
game.
If you want to talk personnel, then that's different, but that's not coaching.
Like that Jacksonville game, you got your teeth kicked in that day, and you still had the ball with a chance to score and tie on it with a two-point conversion at the end of that game, as bad as you played down there in that heat.
I would even entertain some of the things that have plagued them all year, right? So short yardage, red zone, some of the third down stuff. There have been issues with this team, issues that good teams that we expect to go to the Super Bowl and have a chance at winning the Super Bowl should be better at. If you want to look at those things and say, well, the coaching staff should have that coached up better by now, I would entertain that. That's fine. But if you're just looking at the Devin McCourty not being on the field for the last play the other day and saying, well, Bill's lost it, it's time for him to retire, I think that's a little strong.
I think it is, too. One quick one on the roster, Dan in Westboro. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's up, Dan?
Yeah, I just had a quick question, and Phil, you might have some insight on this. The Patriots have been real inconsistent, at least in my eyes, in terms of defensive line pressure and getting to the quarterback. Some games good. I thought they were great in Green Bay, not so good last week. And it's kind of got me concerned for the playoffs, especially after what happened in the Super Bowl. So I just wanted to get your on that line, I wanted to ask about Derek Rivers. And I know he was a draft pick a couple years ago, our first pick.
Great question.
And he hasn't. I haven't been able to figure out what's happening with him and his assimilation into the team. So just if you could provide a little color on that, I'd appreciate it. So happy holidays, boys.
Yep, it's a great question. Dan,
really good preseason.
The Derek Rivers role is a role that is currently occupied by Adrian Claiborne. Adrian Claiborne is essentially a third down pass rusher, and that's what he's given you, and it's basically all he's given you. And Derek Rivers might be able to give you something in the kicking game. They tried him there last year before he got hurt. But that's who Derek Rivers would be. And right now, they like Adrian Claiborne better, obviously. And they paid Adrian Claiborne. And so Derek Rivers doesn't really have a spot
in
the defense right now.
It's almost like he's being redshirted.
It's almost like another redshirt, yeah. And we've seen them do this with guys before, and guys have come back and been great. Trey Flowers basically redshirted his rookie year because of injury and came back and was tremendous his second season. I would say as far as the quarterback pressures go, they've actually been better there than I think maybe they've gotten credit for. If you look at some of the numbers, they're top 10 in terms of pressure percentage, and some of the not all pressures are created equal, but they're up there. And even if you look at last week, I mean, the Dolphins barely had the ball because some of those drives were so quick. But when they stopped them on first down and they forced the Dolphins into obvious passing situations on second and third down, they were getting to Tannehill or Osweiler, yeah. Sacked Osweiler. So the pressure has actually been pretty good. They've gotten a little bit more creative. It was good against the Vikings. They got creative against the Vikings with that sort of bus stop amoeba defense, whatever you want to call it. So they've dialed up some different things here, especially lately, that's helped them get to the quarterback a little bit more, and it's put them near the top of the league in terms of pressure.
Kyle Van Noy was on us. He didn't like it being called playground defense. He said, who named it that, by the way? I said, I think Bruschi and McGinnis and those guys. He said, oh, okay.
What did he call it? Did he give you a name?
I think took it as
you can't criticize the name and then not give it a name.
Right. He didn't give the name.
I'll try to get Kyle today down in the locker room.
All right, please. Appreciate your time, Phil.
Thanks,
we'll
boys.
See you tonight on the Football Fix, 6 p.m. NBC Sports Boston.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.